The Holy Gospel according to St. John, the 21st chapter. After he appeared to his followers in Jerusalem, Jesus showed himself again to the disciples by the Sea of Tiberias, and he showed himself in this way. Gathered there together were Simon Peter, Thomas, called the twin, Nathanael of Cana in Galilee, the sons of Zebedee, and two others of his disciples. Simon Peter said to them, "I am going fishing." They said to him, "We will go with you." They went out and got into the boat, but that night they caught nothing. Just after daybreak, Jesus stood on the beach, but the disciples did not know that it was Jesus. Jesus said to them, "Children, you have no fish, do you?" They answered him, "No." He said to them, "Cast the net to the right side of the boat, and you will find some." So they cast it, and now they were not able to haul it in because there were so many fish. That disciple, whom Jesus loved, said to Peter, "It is the Lord." When Simon Peter heard that it was the Lord, he put on some clothes, for he was naked, and jumped into the sea. But the other disciples came in the boat, dragging the net full of fish, for they were not far from the land, only about 100 yards off. When they had gone ashore, they saw a charcoal fire there, with fish on it and bread. Jesus said to them, "Bring some of the fish that you have just caught." So Simon Peter went aboard and hauled the net ashore, full of large fish, 153 of them. And though there were so many, the net was not torn. Jesus said to them, "Come and have breakfast." Now none of the disciples dared to ask him, "Who are you?" because they knew it was the Lord. Jesus came and took the bread and gave it to them and did the same with the fish. That was now the third time that Jesus appeared to the disciples after he was raised from the dead. When they had finished breakfast, Jesus said to Simon Peter, "Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these?" He said to him, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." Jesus said to him, "Feed my lambs." A second time he said to him, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" He said to him, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." Jesus said to him, "Tend my sheep." He said to him the third time, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" Peter felt hurt because he said to him the third time, "Do you love me?" And he said to him, "Lord, you know everything. You know that I love you." Jesus said to him, "Feed my sheep. Very truly I tell you, when you were younger, you used to fasten your own belt and to go wherever you wished. But when you grow old, you will stretch out your hands and someone else will fasten a belt around you and take you where you do not wish to go." He said this to indicate the kind of death by which he would glorify God. After this, he said to him, "Follow me." This is the gospel of our Lord. Please be seated. All right, so I'm going to begin this sermon by pointing out a possible elephant in the room. I don't know if, as you were listening, you had the same question that I did, but I thought to myself, why in the world was Peter fishing naked? Right, I can't imagine OSHA would approve of that. Well, to put everybody at ease, naked didn't mean birthday suit naked. Naked just meant that he was probably wearing some kind of underclothes and underwear, something that's not really what you would go and greet someone with, but something that you would wear as you were doing work so as not to mess up your good clothes, right? You have your school clothes and you have your play clothes. Well, right, you have your meeting people clothes and you have your underclothes that in the Bible they call means you're naked. So just to put that out there. I do find it interesting, though, that when Peter realized that the man on the shore was Jesus, he took the time to put clothes on, but then he jumped into the water and didn't wait for the boat to go 100 yards to get to the shore. So he just jumped in the water, ruining those new clothes that he just put on. But of course, that's Peter, and we know that Peter doesn't always think before he talks or acts. And we are going to talk a little bit about Peter, a little bit more about Peter in a bit. In these verses from John, though, we find ourselves once again at a seashore. Peter is doing what he knows best. He's fishing. And we have this parallel to Luke's description of Jesus at the beginning of Jesus' early ministry, when he calls Peter and James and John and probably Andrew to follow him. In both stories, these fishermen are out catching fish. Well, they're out trying to catch fish, but they're not catching a thing. Then they listen to some advice, they put their nets elsewhere, and that brings in a huge haul of fish. In Luke chapter 5, the men leave the fish, they leave their boats, and they follow Jesus. These men were invited to be followers and learn from Jesus, to learn to bless, to learn how to heal, to learn how to love people who were considered outsiders, even when that meant that they would become outcasts themselves. But in this post-resurrection story in John, Jesus is now calling them to something more. They are no longer called just to be followers, but they are called to become shepherds. They are being called to be the presence of Christ in the world. There is a sense of a maturation in what it means to be a child of God through Christ Jesus. In a way, this is a moment of truth. Until the last minute of Jesus' life, and even after that, the disciples struggled to truly understand Jesus' mission in this world, struggled to understand what it meant that Jesus was the Messiah, the Christ. These men now need to get out of their own ways to make the way for God to work through them. And isn't that what we are all really called to do? To get out of our own way? To get out of the ways that this world tells us we're supposed to be? To focus less on the me and more on the we as children of God and followers of Christ? The beautiful part of this reading in John is that he specifically names some people. He names the sons of Zebedee. Those boys we know were arguing over who was the greatest and asking if they could have seats of honor next to Jesus. John names Thomas, the one who refused to believe that Jesus was resurrected until he could see and touch the wounds that were made by the crucifixion. John names Nathanael, the skeptical apostle who asked, "Can anything good come out of Nazareth?" John names Peter, the one who said three times that he was not a follower of Jesus. Three times on that night that Jesus was arrested. And just in case we can't see our failings in one of those disciples, John also includes two other unnamed disciples in which we can use our imaginations to figure out what they did wrong. In this one passage, we see so clearly how it is not about who we are, but it is about who God is. We see how God works through the least perfect people to still bless this world. As Lutherans, we tend to focus on Paul's letters, especially the letter to the Romans, to understand what it means to be completely loved by God through no merit of our own, to be loved and redeemed out of God's faithfulness, not out of our own good works or our sacrifices. Living in a culture that encourages and lifts up individual merit as an ideal, I understand that this is a message that may be difficult to wrap around our heads at times and to live out. So I'll say it again. Today's gospel is where we see that it is not all about us. It is not about me. It is all about God. So let's go back to Peter. He's made himself presentable, and he's hurried to join Jesus around the fire on the seashore. John provides an image that will take us back yet to another story in this gospel, the image of the charcoal fire. The only other time that John ever mentions a charcoal fire is on that night. The night that Jesus is arrested and Peter is warming himself by a charcoal fire. And as we know, that is where Peter denies Jesus three times, denies that he is one of Jesus' disciples. And now we will read this threefold set of questions and commands from Jesus. Simon, do you love me? Feed my lambs. Simon, do you love me? Tend my sheep. Do you love me? Feed my sheep. Three times, Peter denied that he was a follower of Jesus. Now, three times, he proclaims his love. And three times, he is told what to do in response to that love. He is told to care for the world, to provide care, to provide love, to provide nourishment. And this is part of where we get our Lutheran understanding that tending to this world is not something that we do to earn the love and forgiveness of God. We care for this world and for one another because we love God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And further, we trust that God loves us. And the work we do is because of this. I want to remind you all again that the people who are witnessing this discourse between Peter and Jesus, these are men who were going to go out and start a movement that is still in existence more than 2,000 years later. These men were ordinary human beings who made many mistakes. They had their doubts. Many times they completely missed the point of Jesus' message. And in Peter's case, completely denied even being a disciple. Today we are reminded that the important work of sharing God's love in this world, the work of looking to those on the outside and bringing them in, is not the work of some perfect Christian individual, but the work of many imperfect children of God. We are not sent out alone, not called to be lone disciples. We are part of a community. We are being told it is not about me. It is about we. The we who are a community because of the love of God from the beginning of creation. As some of you know, I had my first set of interviews this past Friday that will determine if the church will approve my ordination. And one of our discussions was about community. And I remembered that when I first felt that I was being called into ordained ministry some 30 or so years ago, I really was focused on the me, my relationship to God, my sense of call, and how that personal relationship and call could be a way to serve others. I have since come to understand with greater clarity why in the ELCA, a community, not just an individual, must affirm a call to be ordained. A pastor without a community is a lone disciple. She or he may do wonderful things in the name of God as an individual, but I understand better now the importance of the call being affirmed by the community. It is the community that works together to do the work of God. It is the community where the love of God is shared and really in a midst. Even Paul did not set out alone after his encounter with Jesus. Once Ananias laid hands on him and his eyesight was recovered, he went to the community of the disciples. Jesus called his disciples at the beginning of his ministry and then calls them again after his resurrection. As we consider what it is that God is asking us to do, remember that none of this is to be done or needs to be done alone. We are a community so loved by God that he sent his only son to die for us. And in response, we are to go out and proclaim this love and care for God's beloved creation to increase this community. Amen.